Geeks and nerds of all ages, stay tuned to your computers. It's Digital Om Radio version 2.0. This is Christopher Handel with you. Coming up after our last show with Abe, Steve, Josh, and CJ, I had to get a few words of my own, and I took a microphone to Gen Con 2003, Indianapolis, Indiana, had a chat with Ray Park about some Jedi fights, Jeremy Bullock, Mr. Bella Fett himself, talks about the Jedi Hunter, Gamers the Movie, Dead Gentleman Productions, talking a little bit about their wares, and some of the Klingons walking the halls, had a few words for them as well. Also listen to part 2 of Digital Om Radio, where we talk with Jeff Yankee, Josh Griffin, both of TheForce.net. We talk hyperspace, Star Wars Galaxies, a few Episode 3 spoilers for you, and a couple other surprises for you as well. Stay tuned. Digital Om Radio 2.0.
Like, give me you hear yourself in there,
yeah? Yeah, I can hear right here.
Hello.
Hello, who is he? Okay. This is Chris Handel for Digital Om Radio here at Gen Con once again with Ray Park, Mr. Darth Maul. Thanks for being on the show.
No problem.
Now, we wanted to pick your brain, obviously, because of your vast experience in doing stunts and martial arts work, fight choreography.
I won't take long, 2 seconds.
Excuse me?
It'll take 2 seconds.
Oh, yes, exactly. Just to give our listeners an example, what's your history of martial arts? What's your backlog of experience?
It all started way back in the day when I was 7 years old, and I went to my first martial arts school. At 7, so basically just really because of my love for movies. My dad grew up with Bruce Lee, and at the time Bruce Lee was a big phenomenon, and everyone loved Bruce Lee, and it was like that new thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't any sort of kung fu classes about at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what got me into it.
All right.
Movies and kung fu.
What martial arts do you have experience in?
I still practice Shaolin and Wushu, and they're both similar in a way, but I started off with the Qing Wu style, which is a northern Shaolin style, and then from there, when I was about 13, 14, I started Wushu, which was it's part of the same system, so I just went to another teacher in the club, he taught me Wushu, and that really, I learned Wushu because I saw Jet Li and I wanted to get into films, and I wanted to make it more more realistic to get into films, so I thought, well, if I've got to get into movies, I've got to do Wushu, so I combined my Shaolin and my Wushu to get into films.
Excellent. A lot of people have commented when they're starting to do fight choreography and starting to do stunts for films. Some people say that it's extremely helpful to have that background, obviously for the strength and the conditioning, but also that since you're not exactly doing it the exact same way, you're doing it for a movie camera, that you do have to unlearn some things once you get in front of a screen.
Yeah, I had that sort of that experience with myself on Star Wars because I was always used to having that realism. But it's not like when you're doing the lightsaber battles or the sword work, you're going to be. I'm used to fighting people for reals.
Uh-huh.
It's all Wushu and Shaolin are choreographed. You do forms, you do katas, so you have certain moves that are put together in a sequence. So it's very similar to learning a dance step, and it's the same with learning fight sequences for movies. But to me, it was very. I was lucky in the same way as well, but it was very awkward because I wanted to do a move, but I had to do it completely different to the way else you would do it normally as a martial artist.
Mm-hmm.
It did feel very unorthodox for me, and it was very frustrating, and I couldn't get my head around. I thought, well, if it's not real, it's not going to look real. But you just got to trust, you know, the stunt coordinator to say, look, this is, you know, I have no experience in that, but at the time, I just wanted that realism.
Uh-huh.
So I'd experienced that, but it's very different.
Uh-huh.
But sometimes things are made up just for film anyway, which is very different from being a martial artist.
Uh-huh. When you were filming Episode 1, Nick Gilliard had a very specific idea for the style of saber fighting that he was going for, especially for the battle between you and Ewan at the end of Episode 1. What was he looking for out of all that?
Well, it was a case I was brought on because of what I could do,
uh-huh.
and I think it enhanced the style of fighting, and Nick wanted some, as I remember, Nick wanted, you know, powerful, strong, you know, flamboyant. And I saw Darth Maul as being that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then they wanted something completely different to what we've seen in the original Star Wars as well. And they George wanted to really showcase the Jedi's for their Jedi skills as skillful swordsmen or lightsaber people. So that's what we, you know, Nick emphasized on. And it was a case of running through different stuff that we would do to sort of get a yay or nay on what we were doing. And really, my style really influenced me as an actor for Darth Maul. It really came out. So whatever I did, it was my background that came. It really showed, it was the basics of my training that really helped.
Uh-huh.
At the same time, you're playing characters from, you know, Star Wars. So you've got lightsabers. So, you know, Nick wanted something powerful and, you know, flamboyant. He wants to make sure the Jedi's look really good.
Excellent. Now, on the other side, you have Ewan McGregor, who didn't have much, you know, can't brag of the background that you had, and he was able to keep up just fine with all of that?
That's because of me. No. No, he was, my emphasis as well is that I'm the martial artist here. I'm the person who knows what they're doing, mm-hmm. and so I've got more experience in fighting and mm-hmm. you know, sort of using weaponry. So I wanted to make sure that they were comfortable with me, so I was there to help. Mm-hmm. But Ewan picks up so fast. He was like, he's great anyway. He's a great actor, and he picks up things like he's very easy. And he put the work in, mm-hmm. When you really want to do something, you can tell he's enjoying it. He picked it up, and it was nothing to do with me. Uh-huh. You know, it's just because of him. He would rehearse with me a few times, rehearse with other some guys. You know, it's a case of if you're used to learning moves or used to learning like sequences, you pick it up.
Uh-huh. Is the rumor true about making the saber noises on set and having your
moves? Ewan's doing it all the time. But you know, everyone does it, don't we? You do it as kids.
Yeah.
And
that's the explanation.
I do more beatbox noises, you know. From kung fu movies. stuff like that. So I'm used to doing all that. But yeah, Ewan's doing it all the time.
Someone starting out, someone that wants to start doing fight choreography for like a fan film or an amateur Star Wars movie, what is a tip that you could give to those guys that are just starting to learn this and are about to start swinging swords at their friends' heads?
Safety for one. If anyone's going to start doing it, you've got to have some background in fight choreography. So, but then we all like live in dreams, don't we? We all mm-hmm. can all sort of pretend and emulate what we see on TV. Mm-hmm. So I would say if you're starting out just for fun, mm-hmm. you know, just be very safe and just make sure that, say, your actors are doing stuff, mm-hmm. that they're warmed up and it's in a safe environment. You've got to be aware of all the other factors that come into it, where your location is, mm-hmm. things that could possibly go wrong. And there's a lot of things that they actually consider in movies, you know, if they fall over uneven ground, things like that. Uh-huh. I would say go to fight school and get a fight qualification mm-hmm. and stay to fighting. I haven't done that, it's just because of my martial arts.
Uh-huh.
For someone who has not done any fight choreography or any martial arts, go to a stage fight school. But it's good to, if you're very sort of well-rounded, you can pick up things and you've got rhythm. It's very easy to pick that up.
Excellent. Ray, thanks for being on the show.
You're welcome.
I'm sure we'll be seeing you all the rest of the weekend.
All right, cool. Thank
all right.
you.
Chris Handel, Digital Armor Radio, will have more for you. Stay tuned.
Next up on the show, we'll have Jeremy Bullock, Mr. Boba Fett himself. Now, you'll hear me introduce Mr. Bullock as the first celebrity we've ever had on Digital Armor Radio. This was recorded earlier in the day from Ray. So, chronologically speaking, this is true. Stay tuned and listen to Chris Handel go completely fanboy in front of Boba Fett. Enjoy.
This is Chris Handel for Digital Armor Radio, and we have a special, extra special guest for you today. We've never had a celebrity, so to speak, on our show, and today, the first time ever that I can think of in Digital Armor Radio history, Mr. Jeremy Bullock is joining us. Jeremy, say hello.
Hey, say hello. Yeah, thank you.
Excellent. We're just coming out of Comic-Con, as we're here at Gen Con only a week later, and I understand that you got to attend.
Yeah, I mean, I went to San Diego Comic-Con, and here we are now at Gen Con. The San Diego Comic-Con was quite incredible because I've never seen so many people. And, of course, they released, well, they had for 2 weeks released the new silver figure of Boba Fett.
Uh-huh.
So for 4 days, it was pretty hectic, incredible.
Amazing. And you were doing autographs throughout all that and meeting all the fans?
Yes, throughout the whole 4 days. And fans come down from Los Angeles, Santa Barbara, all around that area in California. And it's such a big show. It's just stretching and getting bigger and bigger each year. And it's a fun time for us because San Diego is a nice place to be. The temperature is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a lot of comic book fans out there.
Oh, yeah. Also, a lot of our listeners are people that make fan films, and of special interest to them is the fan films contest that was going on hosted by Adam Films.
Yeah, the fan film awards was incredible. I mean, there was a lot of great stuff. Unfortunately, I was backstage because I was hosting it,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't get to see them fully on, but I do know the Jedi Hunter because I've seen it before. That made me laugh, and and it's just great. It's that wonderful Aussie actions coming in there, you know. But I'm amazed at the amount of talent that put on these films, you know, from a short 40-second film to 15 minutes, which that was the limit that anyone could could show.
Now, from a costume standpoint, you know the costume of Boba Fett better than anybody. And the Jedi Hunter costume, and then another fan film, which was from Australia, Bounty Trail.
Yes.
Both of those featured Boba Fett very, very much. And the quality of those costumes, was that a thumbs up?
I just think it's incredible the amount of costumes people produce, and sometimes they take a year.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the detail, it gets better and better. But beforehand, it's just sort of, this will do.
Mm-hmm.
But now it won't do to those people that make the costumes. And you look at it, and I thought, oh, that looks nice and comfy. It's more comfortable than the one I wore. And then people now are making accurate size helmets, the proper size helmets.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking around here now at Gen Con, all the guys dressed up. There's Boba Fett, Darth Vader, Jango Fett, Imperial Guards. You know, I mean, it's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
Now, also talking about Boba Fett a little bit, we have sitting about 20 feet to our left Mr. Daniel Logan, your counterpart in
Baby
all of this.
Boba.
Baby Boba.
Baby Boba, I call him.
You guys do a lot of conventions together?
We have recently, because he comes from New Zealand.
Uh-huh.
And we have recently. It's great to kind of catch up with him and chat to him, and he's a really good kid.
Excellent. Where can we expect to see you later on this summer?
Well, I may be back in Chicago in 2 weeks' time, but I'm filming, so filming a documentary in England, so I might not be able to make it. Other than that, I'll be at Gatlinburg, probably. That's in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Excellent.
Around about 2nd, 3rd of October.
All right.
And that may be the last one I do in the States, because I've got a lot on at home, and family, grandchildren, all sorts of things. So I've got an awful lot to do.
Now, you're saying the last one in the States for a while or ever or...
No, for a while.
Okay.
Certainly not forever.
Okay.
It all depends how things are, which I'm trying to sort out. You know, a lot of work in England now, and get back into the theatre.
Uh-huh.
But I've enjoyed coming out here because it's the freedom for me. I can do what I want if I want.
Mm-hmm.
As an actor, when you're there, you get a part and you tend to take it in case someone else jumps ahead.
Uh-huh.
But I've actually enjoyed meeting all the fans here. I mean, they are incredible. Everyone's so happy. There's no sort of hassle. It's not like a soccer crowd at home.
Mm-hmm.
You get this crowd in soccer, and they'd be pushing each other and fighting and everything, but not here.
I've been sitting here for the last 15 minutes, and everyone's been extremely polite. Oh, are you next? No, you were next.
Please
go on.
Inform me, and I heard just a thing. And my wife said, well, do you want to come back because you're giving this interview? And the guy said, no, I'm quite happy to stay here. And they are. They're patient. They stand in line.
Uh-huh.
At San Diego Comic-Con, they were standing in line to begin with for 3 hours to get the silver Boba Fett figure.
Uh-huh.
But here it's just much easier. There's no... Because everyone's playing games, cards and everything, and they can just get it in their own time.
It's very laid-back convention, I've noticed.
Yeah, it's very, very laid-back.
It's been amazing. This is my first Gen Con, so...
Really?
Oh, yes, it is. This is the first time I've been able to be here, so I've enjoyed myself immensely.
It's busy, you know. It has the feel of San Diego Comic-Con, but not the amount of people.
Yeah.
San Diego Comic-Con is the biggest.
It's packed. It's
just unbelievable. I'm sure, do they bust these people in and hire people to come in to make it look busy?
Oh, no. All those people are there on their own accord.
Definitely on their own, yeah.
There's about, I think the count was 75,000 people or something.
That's
around
a lot
those
of
lines.
People.
The size of a pretty good-sized city inside one convention
size
center.
A very good soccer crowd as well.
Very good point right there. Yes, but Jeremy, thanks for being on the show.
Nice pleasure. Thanks very much. See you soon.
Yes, definitely. All right, this is Chris Handel back with Digital on the Radio. We are now currently in line at Gen Con. We are going out with the people that were less fortunate than ourselves not to be exhibitors. We are with two people right now that have been waiting for how long now?
2.5 hours.
2.5 hours of blissful walking with all your comrades here.
Well, this is the most fun part of the weekend right here, so.
Yeah.
Please kill me.
I just want to renew my driver's license. Come on.
Come on. Where's the salad bar?
Now, if you guys could
have been in convention.
If you guys could have taken a number, you would probably be about number 15,000 about all of this if we look behind you with all the masses that were less fortunate than yourselves.
Well, that's true. Well, that's the bad thing. We got here early. We got here at like 10:15 and decided we'll go get some breakfast. The line will go down.
And what time is it now?
It is now 1:32.
And you have about 300 people still in front of you to get your ticket.
Yeah.
Now, what are you guys here for this weekend?
Well, just about shopping, basically, buying a lot of stuff, looking at the new games, getting some old stuff, maybe like some Hero Clicks, some Magic stuff.
We're basically just shameless consumers.
Yeah, shameless.
But you're only here for one day.
Just here for one day. Came in from Chicago.
The border's on masochism. You do know that. So go through this line and then leave today.
Absolutely. We're well aware of the self-harm that we enjoy giving to ourselves.
Are you kidding? If we went to a professional, we'd have to pay a dom upwards of $300 an hour for this.
No longer have stepfathers to abuse us, so we must do it to ourselves.
Yeah, we're getting a good deal. $3.23 and we're all set. Have a cigarette and we're back on the road.
Excellent point. Excellent point. Now, what games are you here to check out? What's your specialties? What are you looking for specifically?
Well, I like a lot of Blizzard stuff, and I like a lot of role-playing. I mean, a lot of the role-playing stuff is coming out.
I'm big into miniature stuff, HeroClix, Warhammer 40,000, things like that.
40K right there with you on that one.
I love it.
Blood Angel Army at home.
See, it's all cheese there. When are you going to fall over to the dark side? Realize chaos is the wave of the future.
Now you got to realize, though, I didn't go full cheese and make a full Death Company army. I just have a Blood Angel army and a bit of Death Company to do all the killing. But the rest of the guys to sit back, drink beer, and watch them do all the work.
You just keep rationalizing right there.
Hey,
the false emperor will fall.
See, the Warhammer stuff is just way too expensive a hobby for me, being a very poor person. So I just decided to make my own line. So I take the old army men and make them up like ugly women and then have them fight. It just reminded me of being at home.
That sounds like a real spectator sport right there.
Oh, it's great. It's absolutely great. I called the game Family Reunion.
Family Reunion. Jerry Springer, the second episode.
Absolutely.
And as soon as he's back on the Prozac, it's all done. So.
Excellent. Nice meeting you guys.
Nice meeting you.
All right. We'll be back with more here on Digital Armor Radio. Back with Digital Armor Radio at Gen Con in Indianapolis. All of this is not just for fun and games. There are some charities that get helped out by this organization. Project Seed for re-education of mathematics is going to be for what Gen Con is going towards. And we have a few helpful people with us this weekend. Klingon Jalen Bale, if you might have heard of it, is one of the forces getting behind Project Seed. With us now is some of the friendly forces of the Klingon Attack Group. Klingon Assault Group, right now. This is Chris Hoffbauer. Have I pronounced that correctly?
That is correct.
Excellent. What is it that you guys are doing here? Having some fun to get some charity going?
Basically, Klingon Jalen Bale is just a way to have a little fun with friends and people that you are hanging out with. Basically, what you do is you just... we have an arrest form where you come up with some very interesting accusations against your friends, and things can be anywhere from, you know, improper gaming rules, coming up with your own. It just depends on what you come up with, and it's like $5 for 5 minutes and $1 each additional minute. And we just have fun. We you know, make a little fun of them. They make a little fun of themselves, and it's just all a good time for a good cause.
Excellent. How long have you guys been here at Gen Con?
We've been doing the Jalen Bale here at Gen Con for the past 3 years.
Excellent.
This is our fourth year doing it, and we have a lot of fun doing it, and they bring us back every time.
You guys have been very successful from what I understand.
We've done quite well with doing this here at Gen Con.
If you can't match Milwaukee, I don't know.
So we have some of the Klingons around us right now, if we might get a chance to get some of them on the air. Who's the Klingon to our right?
Track them down and arrest them, bring them back, put them in here.
No, we have to have them call.
Okay. What is your name, sir?
Human or otherwise?
Otherwise.
Erok.
Erok?
Yes.
From what ship would that be?
I'm from the IKV Demon Justice.
Excellent. How many prisoners have you captured today?
Today? What, about 2 dozen, maybe?
2 dozen, and the day is short, and it's only the first day, so
oh, yes.
You guys plan to do pretty well.
Big business this weekend.
Big business? Excellent.
Oh, yes.
What's some of the punishments that you've been giving to some of your captors?
We've been having them sing children's tunes. Little Bunny Foo Foo. Teapot.
Standard Klingon torture.
Oh, yes.
Now, do they have to sing that in English or the old Klingon?
English.
Oh, English.
Preferably. They would butcher the Klingon language so badly we'd have to hurt them further.
They'd be spitting on everyone around them if they were doing it. Or would that be if it was done correctly?
Only if done correctly.
Oh, okay. Excellent. What is your... Do you guys have a charity goal that you guys go for every week? Or?
We're trying to beat last year's quota, aren't we?
Correct.
Yeah, last year's quota was... $2,700. So we're trying to beat that.
Going for that.
I think what the ships can... Yeah, we're trying to break three this year.
Excellent. What past charities have you guys done this for?
Scry Media.
Okay.
Scry Media was one. Was there another?
No, Scribe Media's been the one for the past 3 years for Gen Con.
Okay.
We've done Jalen Bales at other conventions for, like, Salvation Army.
Toys for Tots.
Toys for Tots. Those are two biggest ones that we've done thus far. There is a local one where we do it for a Miami Reading Association in Cincinnati, from where we're from. So, basically, we've done this over several years, so... And it's a lot of fun. It's just a good time to come out and spend a little money to make fun of your friends.
Excellent. Chris, thanks for having you on the show.
Thank you.
All right. This is Chris at Digital Alma Radio. We'll be back with more from Gen Con. Stay tuned. And we have some special guests with us today. Other fan filmmakers have their own booth, actually, just down the road from the TFN booth. You might have heard of this one. It is gaining a lot of visibility online and here at Gen Con. Honor, Valor, Glory, Dorks. I bring you the makers of Gamers. Writer-director Matt Vansell, actor Nathan Rice, and jack-of-all-trades, editor, composer, director, anything you want, Ben Dobbins. Say hello, guys.
Word up.
All right. Just wanted to talk to you guys with how this all got started. This project is now on DVD. It's a 48-minute film with about your role-playing crowd. How did all this get going?
Well, wrote it as a short film to be part of one of a group of pieces for a larger film of scenes back when we were in college, right after we did our first feature.
Mm-hmm.
But we weren't able to pull that off, so it sat for a while. And then I never thought, actually, that we would get it made because of what was kind of called for in the script. We needed a dungeon, we needed a medieval tavern, and we had no budget, no costumes and whatnot. And when I started... we didn't really start looking at it seriously as a project until after we'd finished Dead Camper Lake, the sequel to Demon Hunters. And around then, it was a matter of, you know, if I could get costumes and whatnot. And people who we knew kind of came out of the woodwork, like, well, I've got that stuff. People in the SCA, fantasy enthusiasts. I mean, we shot it for a budget of $500, and that's because people had costumes. They had prop swords. They had the elf ranger suits and whatnot. And then it was just a matter of scouting locations, getting permits, and shooting.
Wow. So this whole film, now that you're selling, I want to be clear, there's no copyright being infringed on this by any role-playing company, and they're selling this and doing pretty well from what I'm saying.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, I think we're selling... We haven't done any large-scale advertising. All of our advertising has been word of mouth. We've been we were noticed by Monty Cook, and he interviewed us on his site. We were noticed by Jolly Blackburn, and he did a review of us in Knights at the Dinner Table. We've been doing a lot of our word has been on forums, on different websites, people downloading the trailer and noticing it and coming by our website. Since we've had the DVD released, we've done almost no advertising, and we're still selling a minimum of about 50 a week.
That's just on the website?
That's just on the website previous to us going out and selling them starting here at Gen Con.
That's awesome.
And we have picked up your distributor. Alliance Games, even before Gen Con started, ordered about 150.
Yeah, Alliance basically... massively shortened the acquisition schedule in order to be able to get the Gamers before Gen Con, pre-ordered a bunch from us, sold out, ordered more, and I'm anticipating even more orders once Gen Con's done and more of the word gets out. So it's really starting to snowball, which is exciting.
When did you guys first start working on this film?
We started initial photography in January of 2001, which is weird because it was right around the time that we were frantically finishing the editing for Dead Camper Lake, Demon Hunters 2.
And the premiere for the movie?
When was the premiere? What would you call the premiere?
We premiered the movie in Tacoma in November.
December.
We had a press screening in November and then a public screening in December
Of that same year?
In 2002.
Oh, so it went about 2 years then?
Yeah. However, our official premiere was just a few weeks earlier at the Hawaii International Film Festival, which accepted the movie and then gave us enough legitimacy to be able to go on and get over almost 40 other conventions and festivals around the world to play it. We've been to, we personally haven't been there, but the film has been to New Zealand, Australia, the Netherlands, Ireland, England, Canada, all over the United States, Brazil. We have a huge fan base in Brazil. It's amazing.
Strangely enough.
That's why we had to put the Portuguese subtitles on there. Someone emailed Ben and said, look, if you give us an a list of the lines, and will you put us Portuguese subtitles on it?
Yeah. Yes, we will. Thank you very much.
Now, getting a DVD made, going to all these conventions, going, getting this all to all these film festivals, this sounds a lot like this is becoming a full-time job for some of you.
It's that's the end goal, is to make it a full-time job for us. We are, first and foremost, a film production company. We made this because we also happen to be gamers, and we happen to love gaming, and a lot of our philosophy deals with the telling of stories, and we think gaming is just another way that we tell stories among ourselves, just making them up at the time. And that's why we like filming, that's why we like gaming, and that's part of how we combined the two into this movie.
Excellent.
Gaming, I've always thought, is something just like Greek mythology and certain amounts of science fiction is naturally funny if you look at it in an objective light. And we looked at it and said, you know what, no one's ever really done a movie about gaming. We've had movies that have been peripherally about it, and were obviously made by people who know nothing about it, so we wanted to make something for and about gamers that they would get. And the funny thing that we weren't expecting was that a lot of non-gamers have seen this and really enjoyed it. And
they
didn't get all of it, that's true. And we've had some people say, you know, this is a good way to introduce people who don't game what the subculture is.
Excellent.
The whole dice rolling, and because a lot of, like, my in-laws and parents didn't understand the whole idea of playing a different character class. They understood the character, but different stats and numbers and how do you do this and that and whatnot. So.
Now, have you guys seen I'm assuming there's no way probably you haven't seen the Dungeons & Dragons movie with Jeremy Irons.
We have seen it. It was a whole lot of fun. It was like watching a sixth grade gaming session. We actually, through the gamers, made contact with a guy named Kelly Diggs, who took that Dungeons & Dragons movie and then basically shot footage of the game room that would have been running it and turned it into a parody.
Oh, man, I'm halfway through writing that script. We're also doing an MST... We're doing an MST3King. I can't assume anyone's done that. But we were working out...
Lung's put more dragons in it because there weren't enough dragons in the Dungeons & Dragons movie. There were still some spots of sky that you could see, you know, before the dragons there.
Did he put a plot around that, or did he have, or was it just people playing the game?
I believe that the main focus of it was kind of to parody and to make fun of the movie.
Oh, okay, cool. Now, you guys said that you were gamers first and foremost as a group. What games are your favorites? I heard Legend of the Five Rings tossed around.
I know Matt and myself play Legends of the Five Rings, the CCG. We played the RPG briefly before our game master graduated. He was
That's
a
always
good
a bummer.
Game master at it, yeah. But we played the CCG very frequently. I think most of us, I know at least myself and probably Ben also, got started in RPGs with Dungeons and Dragons back in second edition.
Second edition.
Yes. Second edition.
Actually, I was first edition.
Wow. No saving throws then, huh?
In your preteens then.
Yeah, I was introduced to it by family friends, had been gaming for years and years and years before I met these guys. But what happened?
And look, you're not out killing anyone like everyone thinks you should
be. Is that I met this group of guys that came to me with a script for a film called Demon Hunters, and I haven't gamed in 6 years because I've been too busy editing their damn movies. I have gamed with Matt, which is always an experience because he's very, very focused on storytelling rather than kind of combat mechanics, and I love that.
Excellent.
My favorite role-playing game out there. I really like 3rd edition Dungeons & Dragons, but I use it more as source material for how to build a world and monsters and stuff. My favorite game as a player is one that's not published anymore. It's the James Bond 007 game, because we have a fantastic game master. The guy owns every single Bond film on DVD. He owns and has read all the novels. He comes up with fabulous villains and has updated, you know, the Dr. No plot into the 21st century with email and tasers and stuff. It's really cool.
Have you ever seen Spycraft?
I have seen that.
That's also AEG, which is the company that makes L5R. They've recently come out with that. I've been talking to our GM about that. He's actually considering switching it to the D20 system and using Spycraft.
Well, there's also...
I actually made that decision to go for it.
Okay, because I'm trying to talk him out of it. Not that I don't like Spycraft, but that I think that system is more representative of what he's trying to do, and I think hit points will take something away from the lethality of what he's trying to accomplish, even if it uses the Star Wars go straight to vitality points with crit hit system.
Yeah, that's the really cool thing about the Bond game is when you get shot, there's a very good chance you're going to die.
Excellent.
So you try not to get shot. and a game where you can where you actually have a stat called seduction that can be used for what it's called.
Awesome.
Don actually invented a new, because in the game you get hero points when you roll really well that you can use to re-roll, and he added a stat called shag points, which you got if you successfully seduced someone. And if you ever collected 10 or more, you could automatically seduce any NPC in the game without having to make a roll.
What about PC?
I don't know if he did that. But we tried to get him to do Q.
But no one accumulated the 10 points. And no one was really, really willing to say their character had done it with Q.
And so. I don't know if there's a line witty enough to go along with that. Don't touch that. That's my lunch.
No, it's mine.
There are a lot of older, cool games out there. There was one game called, what is it? Tales from the Floating Vagabond. Which was a comedy role-playing game in a very Douglas Adamsy sense.
Okay.
In that it's got science fiction and cavemen and cowboys and ninjas all in this floating space bar, and it's got space Nazis and women in bikinis with guns. It's very funny, and you can find it's a used store. Personally, I'm a world designer, and I design my own role-playing games. I run people through the worlds for a couple reasons. One, of course, is I find a problem, and it was part of this is revealed in The Gamers, that sometimes players can't separate character knowledge from player knowledge.
Yeah.
And so when the entire world is mine, everything is new to the players, and they have to respond as if they were denizens of the actual world, and I find that a really rewarding experience. I know that my lack of combat... numbers and such can annoy a few of my players, but
it's not so much the combat numbers, it's that the system isn't codified yet, which we're still working on, because this is something that I enjoy it, and Matt enjoys it, and everyone who's in the group really enjoys his session, so we're actually thinking of eventually having a gaming branch of Dead Gentleman Productions. But I think right now the only drawback to the system is the numbers are not codified and not consistent, so players never know what they can do from session to session sometimes.
Ah, okay, I see.
So, which is part of the frustration, which we're working on, which is something we're working on.
We have a ton of games already for it. Nathan designed, actually, a collectible card game based on a E3000, which is a spacefaring campaign set far in the future, and he did, I mean, an amazing job on it. And the other game...
We're going into playtesting on that very soon.
Yeah.
Wow.
The other game we did that we really need to design because the concept is so cool is a board game called It's Just Not Worth It, the game of Lemming Suicide, where to win, you have to get all of your lemmings to commit suicide in the coolest ways before the others... And if you're
you talk to cheap-ass games about that one? That sounds right up there, Allie. Yeah.
But it is, if the lemming dies accidentally, it doesn't count. It's got to be intentional. And the other ways you can do it, like if you kill 10 lemmings first, you win, or if you collect the most style points, like hang gliding into the power lines or something, that's a spectacular suicide. That's worth at least 6 or 7 points.
Off the cliff in a Superman costume. That's worth a lot.
Well, now, while you're doing all this, what are you guys doing for full-time jobs right now?
Well, I teach part-time at Pierce College, Community College. I teach digital film, which... I may probably won't be doing because the program's kind of collapsing.
Okay. Collapsing? I'm surprised by that. Well, with filmmaking getting so big lately.
It's digital film, and it's a new program, and they're moving three classes down into one, and so they don't need two.
Ah. Oh, okay.
And right now, I'm a professional mover, so if you need a piano shifted, you can give me a call.
Excellent.
I'm a waiter. That's what my 2 degrees are helping me do.
Give us an address. Woo! We'll give you some good tips.
Yeah. Right now. Well, yeah. I'm not gonna say where I'm working right now because I'm planning on quitting within the next month or two.
Okay. Okay.
Taking off this month for Gen Con, another filming thing.
For all the stuff I'm doing this week with Dead Gentlemen or with other things, I'm taking off about 22 days this month. So I'm
welcome.
Not sure how much longer I'm gonna have the job anyway.
Well, welcome to my world. What about you, Ben?
I teach film at a high school for the arts. In addition to that, I'm working pretty much full-time on DG stuff, along with a couple other company members. We've discovered that there's a whole lot of stuff on the business side that needs to be done to support an endeavor like this. We're working on raising a couple $1 million for our next feature film, something called Undergrads, which is going to be really exciting. I just committed myself to months and months of post-production when I started directing my newest feature just last week. So there's a ton going on. So I'm either teaching film or doing film.
Excellent. So one of the things that I'm noticing about you guys as a group is that you guys are really following this to the fullest extent. This is not just a project you did for fun. This is, you're going to go all the way with this one is the plan.
Well, the goal is not to get rich doing this. The goal is to live doing this. And because one thing is, all of our films that we've done so far, I'll run through them. Demon Hunters, horror comedy. Dead Camper Lake, darker horror comedy. The Gamers, fantasy comedy. We have a short that's being done called Revamping Doyle, about a vampire who's bad at being a vampire. And other productions in the works. It's just stuff that we enjoy, that's funny, that's entertaining, that we can do for not too much money, and that has a lot of appeal.
Excellent.
A lot of what was I just going to say? Boy, I'm positive I had something. What was the question?
We're going to take a short interlude here to reimagine Nathan naked in the shower.
Oh, sweet mystery of life, at last I found you.
Mel Brooks fans, I take it, yeah.
We also have a comedy improv group that a number of us perform in.
Excellent. I didn't wear my Comics in Action shirt today, our improv group in Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
We actually brought our improv jerseys because it gives us another uniform. That's Dead Melvin.
Dead Melvin.
He's dead twice. That's how dead he is.
Wow. Excellent. Nathan, you got it yet?
What was the question?
We were talking about how far you guys were going with this. If you guys are going with this all the way, you want to do filmmaking?
Yes. I think that's where I was going. I think for most of us, this is eventually what we want to do, and it's something we take seriously. I kind of view the films we've done as steps on the way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you look at our first film, it was very well done, but we were learning. We were learning. Like, it was amazingly well put together and edited, but, like, we didn't have very good cameras, and, you know, we were basically, like, we didn't have tripods or anything.
Crew of one.
A crew of one person.
Yeah, a crew of
the cameraman, and no, that was John Shock who was the crew.
Well, there were some shoots. I mean, there was one shoot where we had, in front of a green screen, where Ben was trying to, holding the camera up with one hand, holding the microphone out with another, and balancing the light on his foot. For example of, you know, in 99 when we started doing this.
Which is why it felt so nice to be directing last weekend and have a crew of 20 people who knew what they were doing.
Excellent.
But yeah, when you look at like where we started, where we had a crew of one, maybe two people at any given time, and we started off having fun, and we thought, hey, this is something we want to keep having fun, but this is also something we want to keep doing and hopefully making a living at. So
cool.
As each film comes out, I think we're getting a little better each
mm-hmm.
time, and that's... I think that's where we want to be going and where we are going with this is getting better, getting to the point where this is what we do because we've learned what we need to know to do this for a living and to keep learning.
Uh-huh. Any big names look you guys up and say good job since you've got your names out there?
Big actors or big movie stars, is that what you're asking?
Or just companies or anyone, take a look at it. I mean, obviously... Monty Cook, obviously, Jolly Blackburn.
Last week at San Diego, we sent a few people to Comic-Con.
Yeah.
And gave a copy to Sean Astin.
Oh, very interesting.
We don't know if he's looked at it or not, but Sam Gamgee has a copy of this movie, so you should too.
That should be on the DVD cover right there.
Words have not been spoken.
The problem, the VHS edition of the DVD had a quote from the Hawaii International Film Festival that said, given its shoestring budget, The Gamers is better than Lord of the Rings. So,
wow.
We're assuming they mean funnier than Lord of the Rings.
But all things considered, we're pretty happy that we didn't have any quotes on like that on the cover when we gave a copy to Sean Astin.
Oh, that's probably a pretty good thing. Anyways,
take a look at a real movie, Brillo pad feet.
Yeah, that'll help.
Matt.
Oh boy.
Nathan,
there's
Ben.
A little hole through my foot.
Thank you very much for being on the show today. You guys are a treat, and I'm sure that we will be seeing some good things from you. Later on in the show, Josh, Jeff, myself, Phil, we'll talk from TFN and other stuff from Gen Con, and maybe we'll drag some more jokes out of these guys. This is Digital On Radio. Stay tuned.